Isn't it something when you can look back on some photos of your past? Lord, sometimes, you know, when the Bible says enlarge your tent, some of us took it literally. My tent was enlarged, my God. I looked at my wife, I said, that was your husband? And you still loved him? She says, there was just more to you to love, baby. So I said, Lord, I just to look back over the time. And then I started looking back over when the House of Manna started in the hotel at Comfort Inn and Suites. And I looked back on how David, myself, Michael, we'd have to go and load everything in the truck, his little truck, put it in there, put everything there, and then be sweating profusely. I mean, sweating. It was hot. And then we see these two wonderful ladies come in, and they're sitting in the back. Can we bring donuts? Can we bring a cross? Can we put a little table with the candles? Yeah, whatever. Just I'm good with that. And then we had juice. We had donuts. And begin to see the things. Just let God evolve these. And our hospitality started immediately. People from the hotel just started showing up. They would sit there during my time of worship. They would come in and they'd sit quietly in the back. And they were workers. And they would just sit there and begin to worship themselves. And then they started getting to the point, they started leaving just little seeds right there inside the chest. I'm like, wow. He says, well, this is the only church we get because we're working, and I just wanted to leave a little bit here for you. And it was a blessing. And I looked over the pictures, and I looked at how skinny I used to be. I was like, where's that man? I said, babe, he's gone. He's grown a lot. But there's some things that we have to do is to go back and look over some of the things that God has done for us. We can't forget His goodness. Amen. And I'm just so grateful that we're able to be in a place that we can just worship God and not worry about someone coming in and trying to shut us down because we raise up the name of Jesus. And that's been afforded to us because of our men and women that have served this great country of ours. So if there's any of the military that is here that is present, any veterans that are present, stand to your feet so we can honor you. Stand to your feet. All right, Father. Amen, sir. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your service. Now, it's not just about our military. They have done wonders to keep us to have a free nation that we are. Some of y'all may not like the politics of the nations. I don't either. We don't come in agreement all the time. But I'm free. I'm free. And that freedom has come because Jesus Christ also paid the price for me. Amen. But we can't go on in life forgetting of what He's already done. Amen. We have to remember the good things as well as the bad things. Well, some of the bad things in our life, we think that we have to hold on to them and we never get free from the bad. We always focus on the bad. So I want to minister to you something I believe that the Lord has really given me some enlightenment about. And I titled this message, if you would look to your neighbor and say, where is your stone? Look to your neighbor and tell you, where is your stone? Where is your stone? Now, I don't mean the rock that goes on your finger. What is your stone? Turn with me, if you would, in Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4. I want you to hold your seed, your tithes, your offering until the end of the service. And if you have to leave early, you have to leave early because your brisket may be burning, your ribs may be burning. I want you to come and deposit that before you leave. Even if I'm ministering, you're not going to disrupt. What I want you to do is to understand that seed that you're holding is for your breakthrough. It's for your prayers to be answered. So you never want to leave the house of God without giving something to God. Amen. I was raised by, if some of y'all met my spiritual mother, she says, you never come to the house of God without something to give God. And if y'all remember her, she little thing. And she would get in my face, won't you ever come into the house of God without bringing an offering. If you ain't got a job, you go find yourself some money that's hidden somewhere. She used to tell me like that. I ain't lying. My wife used to look at her like, man, she's really getting on you. I ain't saying a word. She says, you bring something. And if you got a gift and a talent, you use it at the church. She used to get on me about, well, she used to get on me. She'd get on me. I said, why are you so rough on me? She goes, you're rough around the edges, and I'm going to speak to you like a mama speaks to you. And I'm going to tell you, you never come to the house of God with nothing. I said, but I always have a seed. Why are you telling me this? Because I want it deep in your soul. So that when you go through some hard times, you start thinking about, how am I going to get something to bring to God? She used to get on me about that. And I went through a season, man, I didn't have a job. I was at home. I was a stay-at-home dad. I used to raise my own boy. I used to take care of my boy. My honey used to work. And I was at home reading and studying. I said, no, but I got to be the provider. He says, you are providing. You don't see what you're doing right now is time and seed. Your harvest is coming later. I said, but I got to bring something to the house. He goes, you will. You will. And I have something for you. And people would come to the house and just say, no, Marty, I don't know, but this is for you guys for the house. I don't know what it is. The Lord told me to come and give you this. And it would be money or a check, whatever. We would take our tenth out of that, give that as a seed, and then we give on top of that. We have always been givers. And I learned the principle of giving based on what God has already shown me about how he gave his son. So if you ever have to leave in the middle of the service, don't ever feel ashamed. Come and say, God, thank you, thank you. Drop it off. You ain't going to disrupt me or anything. You may convict somebody else. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So hold on to your seed to the end. We'll take it at the end. But if you do have to leave, make sure you deposit your seed. Amen. Are you in Joshua chapter 4? Joshua chapter 4. We'll begin reading at verse 1. I'm going to read out the NIV, and when you have it, say amen. When you have it, say amen. When you have it, say amen. Okay, we're getting there. We're getting there. All right, maybe we need to turn the lights on or something. Y'all falling asleep on me. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men, and he had appointed from the Israelites one from each tribe. He said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you in the future when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it is true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you that every word, Father God, is made for my life, made to take me deeper into the understanding of who you are and your kingdom and what you have in store for us. We thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name, and all of God's children said amen. I want you to put your attention just real quick. I'll begin to break down this word as I was reading it. And it says in verse 3, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, right where the priests are standing, and carry them with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. I'm just going to stay in the first section of this particular chapter in Joshua, where he says, go into the middle of the Jordan. You begin, when you were reading it, it says that when all the Israelites crossed over, all of them had already crossed over. But the ones that were standing in the middle were who? The high priest. It just seems to me that we have gotten out of position in the church of God, where the high priests have always wanted to be the ones to cross over first. I want to get my blessing, get my breakthrough before the church does. But they're not willing to stand in the place of uncertainty, even though they should have been certain. See, they're carrying the presence of God. They're carrying the ark, and it's to be carried on their shoulders. So when the people begin to cross over, they went and passed before the Ark of the Covenant. Now watch this. Now, the Jordan always stands for a symbolism of transition. You're going to transition out of one thing to transition into something new. That's what the Jordan represents. When Jesus was baptized, he was being transitioned out of his earthly human ministry into his deity as Christ, the Son of God. And he transitioned out. Now, when Jesus came up out of the Jordan, he began to do miracles, right? Hello? Yes? Read your word. Because just want to make sure we're... The first thing that happened as he came up out of the Jordan was he got tempted by Satan himself. So every time you come out of a place of transitioning, you're going to experience a battle. Okay, look here. Look here. Every time you come out of a place from the old, you may be transitioning into something new, but you're about to face a new battle, a new enemy that you haven't faced. Okay, guys. I like the old good kind of sermons. When they say that you're about to get a five-bedroom house and you're going to get yourself three brand-new cars and you're going to have money in the bank. Oh, those good messages, those real good. But it ain't going to help me when I'm about to face something bigger than me. It's not going to help me when I'm about to face something that's really there to try to take me out. But I have to transition out of my own into a new mindset that what's ahead of me, I have to be prepared for. If we're always looking for the make me feel good 30-minute sermons and don't get mad at me, those I guess they're needed. Amen. But I face real devils. I face the real demons that just happen to just show up, called life. I didn't say wife. I said life. I'm gonna make it real clear. I don't want to get in trouble. When you're talking about me today, I saw you. You said wife. I sang for you this morning. You sang for me? Watch this. Life happens, and then we start thinking that God didn't answer our prayers. God didn't answer my prayers. He didn't come in on time. And when we get mad, and we begin to develop an attitude towards God because he didn't do it the way we wanted him to do it. See, the Israelites were in the wilderness. And it's something that they were in the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years. But the Bible says that not even their sandals wore out. 40 years? 40 years. I remember my mom says, you're going to put on those church shoes and you only wore them on Sunday because that's the only time you went to church. And they had to look nice all the time. I said, well, yeah, because we only go once a week. But as we're growing, they don't always fit. So back in the day, the average shoe size for a man was 8.5. I said, God, how come everybody had 8.5 shoes? Because the older generation said, you're going to wear those until they wear out. But they don't fit them. Well, I don't care. I spend a lot of money on them. You're going to have to wear them anyhow. So all the men's feet got stumped by growth. When they would walk, they couldn't even walk right because they're no balance. My mom used to tell me, where's your church shoes? They don't fit. Put them on. They're a size 7. I'm a 9. Stretch them out. My mom's not here, so I can tell about this story. This ain't going to go on the podcast. And if y'all tell them, I know it was you. But no, listen. And so what happens is we see all these miracles that took place in the wilderness. The Israelites remembered all of these wonderful, wonderful miracles. When they were hungry, pan de dulce fell from the sky. Sweet bread, manna. Y'all don't like sweet bread? Excuse me. The wheat from heaven fell. No MSG. It was so sweet that every time they ate it, it tasted like honey. And it would fall down. And they were grateful. They were grateful all the time, right? They never complained, right? They never complained about having the same meal every single day, week after week, right? They never complained. You know what? Y'all would complain. We've been on this diet thing. Look, Michael, we've been trying to put weight on Michael. He's one of those that's gifted just to be skinny. Now, we've been on this diet, and I hate diets because if you spell it, it's D-I-E, die. You know, that's why I don't like diets. And so we've been on this what they call clean eating. Please, clean eating. There's no taste. You can't season you can't season something that's just not, no. We're about to have some cauliflower and some broccoli, and it's good for you. Can I melt some cheddar cheese on it, please? Put some bacon bits on it and put some, you know, jalapenos in there? So when you start eating clean, you just get so tired. Finally, I told my wife, baby, I need some food. She was, okay, let's go have a salad. No, I'm not a rabbit. I want food. I want to sink my teeth into a steak and I just, She says, you want to go to Jason's Deli and have all you can eat salad? No! So it's just like the Israelites in the wilderness, they got so tired of eating like that, that they begin to complain and cry out, we hate this man and we're tired of this man. And he gives them quail. Quail. If y'all ever had quail grilled over mesquite wood, oh God. Woo, that's some good stuff right there. And that's a lean bird. That's clean eating. It's a lean bird. It's good. And so then they started eating that quail. And you know, they used to barbecue real good because they didn't have no microwave. They had to cook it outside, right? So that's where barbecue came from. Out in the wilderness. They would barbecue outside. And they didn't have those little big grills they had to put wood in. They just made these little ones. And they would cook it right there. And they would cook it in their tent so their tent would smell, right? So every time they were eating the manna because the quail was gone, they would still have something of the fragrance from the quail that was once cooked. Y'all gonna miss this. That was once there as a remembrance that was good and to look forward to what is coming the next time. Look. My wife made this pasta dish for Hannah on Friday. The house still smells like it. And she did it with turkey because clean turkey. You don't give kids turkey when they're in school because there's something in the turkey that makes you. So she made this thing. And, you know, she had to doctor it up because if she tasted it, she said, ooh. She said, ooh. Ooh. She put that whole pot aside. She said, I'm just going to put chicken in it this time because that. But she had to season it so much, the whole house and even upstairs in the closet. Our clothes smell like it. Have you ever had something cooking in your house that there is a residue of what was cooking that you didn't really care for? And then it's there and it just. That it even changes the way the next dish is going to taste because you're smelling what was previous. See, we always remember some of the things in our life that brings us something that's not always good that actually is good for us. You see, we have to remember what God has done. But most of the times we bring from our past the things that he didn't do. Oh, God, you didn't come through for me. This I was praying for steak, and all I got was more salad. And then you get mad. That's me. That's just me. I want steak. And then watch this. Cynthia, I'm trying to, you know. We go get all this supplements. Supplements. I had to go get all this powder stuff. It's like I was a baby again, all this powder stuff. And then the guy in the store says, you need to stay away from meat. I said, get behind me, Satan. And the dude's big. He's ripped. He got muscle on top. Remember the Popeye when he had muscle, and then the little muscle on top? This is how this dude was, just big, right? He goes, meat's not good for you. It causes, what do you say, bad for your pancreas. It's good in my pan. It's good on the grill. He goes, yeah, it tastes good, but it takes you forever to digest. I'm going to go through all the details that he was telling me. And I looked at him like, you're lucky you're bigger than me. You trying to take my steak away too now? I was vexed in my spirit. I was like, Lord, no, not my meat. But because we want what we want when we want it, and if we can't have it the way we want it, we get mad and we blame God for it. No, that's not y'all. I have to preach about myself again? Because y'all, Lord, y'all got these things put together right. Well, the Israelites, they had a tendency to be just like me. They're always complaining. There got to be a witness in here. Somebody in here complained. Oh, look. Ebony, like, hey, I'm with you, Pastor. You ain't by yourself. Now they've been in the wilderness so long. Now, watch this. Now, I want to set this up for you. Now that Moses is getting ready to be taken away from them, their only prophet, their only mediator that they've ever known to go before God and give him the instructions what to do, where to go, and how to follow is being taken. Now Joshua was that. Remember Joshua and Caleb? They went over as spies. They spied out Canaan, and they came back. He says to Joshua and Caleb that they're that of a different spirit. Oh, don't miss this. So now God chooses Joshua in place of Moses and tells Moses, prepare your victuals, for in 3 days, you're about to cross over. Now, isn't that wonderful that you know that in 3 days, you're getting ready to go to a new place you've never been before? That you have never been before. You're about to leave something that you have once known, what you have once struggled in, what you have once got to the point you were tired about. But in 3 days now, you're getting ready to cross over. Now, you would be so excited to know that in 3 days, I'm about to go someplace that I have never been, but I've only got a glimpse of it from afar. Prepare your victuals. It says prepare your food, for in 3 days, you're crossing over. Oh, I love that. But then if you actually read on in Joshua, towards the end of the chapter here, it says that the Jordan was at flood stage. Isn't it something? You're getting ready to cross. It'd have been one thing if it was just a little brook I could cross over. I didn't need God to come through for me. But he lets the waters rise. And not only does the water rise, but it was during the time that the animals would begin to come. And not the furry, nice little animals that we could pet from time to time. It was the lions that would come down to the river, because the river would get swollen and give them an opportunity to feast on those that were caught in the flood. So theologians said that it was so big, this flood, that that the river was so swollen that it overflowed the banks. It was beyond the banks. It was beyond the boundaries. Oh, you hear this? It's beyond the boundaries. It was what was containing them from getting over. It began to flow beyond the boundaries. And then God says, now you're getting ready to cross over. I have to make it so impossible for you to cross over to a new place. I have to make it so impossible for you to even see how you can cross over. I have to make it so difficult that you're going to understand that when I do this thing, you're going to remember that it was me that did it. At flood stage, what I just prophesied last week, I heard that there was a flood that was rising, that the enemy was coming in like a flood.
But we must learn to stand in the very middle of the river of the flood, because God was going to raise the standard so that we wouldn't be taken out. Oh, Lord. So the river is flooded now. And he said, now in 3 days. Can you imagine if he was saying this to you? Make it personal. Jeff, in 3 days, you're getting ready to cross that swollen river. In 3 days, Ebony, you're getting ready to cross that flooded river with all those lions and alligators right there on the other sides waiting for you to even just try it. Hold up. Look, I understand the manna, the quail, the pillar of fire and the cloud. Amen. And I know what you did for these folks. I was about to go there. I was about to really mess up. Pray for me. I know what you did for the elderly folk. Back in the day, about 40 years plus, where you sent an angel of death to come in, and they put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. I remember that. And then we got saved as long as we had the blood on the doorposts. But if we didn't have the blood, you killed every male child. I remember that. But now you're telling me to do something that I ain't never seen you do. I ain't never seen you do this. I've heard about what you did in the Red Sea. My uncle, my auntie, maybe daddy, mama, they crossed over the Red Sea and you took out Pharaoh and I wasn't around. I was just a thought. But here I is now. And you telling me that river right there? How am I going to cross over? See, what usually happens is we begin to think about how we're going to do it. How are we going to put our efforts into it to cross over? How are we going to begin to build a little raft? Bridge. Maybe we need to do what Noah did, build an ark, so that we can cross this place. He said, no, I'm going to show you something that you can't forget. I'm going to show you something that I don't want you to negate. I don't want you to throw it away. I want you to understand what I'm about to do is going to be a foreshadow of what you should do continually. I'm going to show you that you have to let the priest go first. If you're a man in this house right now and you're a father or you're a mother, you must be in position in the presence of God before you can lead your children. Because you can't expect your children to be telling you about God and you don't even have an understanding. You got to get yourself in position to be in that very presence of God on a daily basis so that you can be in the very presence of the one that's going to cross you over. Hoo-wee. Get in position. Because if you don't get in position, the enemy is waiting on the other side. He will devour. Don't get it twisted. So I'm going to show you something. The priests, they're carrying the ark on their shoulders. And it says this, that the moment they stepped into the water, the priests have to step into the very thing that's been swollen, the very thing that's been keeping you from your blessing, has to step in. You yourself, the high priest of your house, have to step in and face the very thing that's keeping you separate from your promised land. You have to step in. You have to answer that call and say, I will carry it. I will carry the burden and I will step in, because it's not just about me. It's about those that are coming up after me. It's about a generation that is yet to see the glory of God. It's about a generation that doesn't have an understanding. But today they will know that God is in the midst because I'm carrying something, his presence. And the moment they got in the very middle of the transition of the River Jordan, all the people crossed over. Guess who was still in the middle?
The priests were still holding the ark in the very middle. As it was symbolic of saying, I am the God that will go before you. I will be the God that stands in the middle with you. And I will be the God that will come up behind you. And I will be the one that will wipe your previous past out of existence so that you can understand I got a future that is made just for you. Woo! He said, it was when all the people passed through. Then he gives a command to Joshua. Get a man. Ooh-wee. Get yourself a man from every tribe. That's it. And send them back into the Jordan. Now, it's one thing. I need you to really see this. Y'all so spiritual. I know the story. Then they crossed over. They got the stones. This is a memorial. What do you mean these stones? Oh, you preachers in here. Hold on. Let me preach my message. After they all cross over, he selected 12. That's government. That's the number of government, the number of family. He selected one from every family member in this place right now. I'm going to send you right back to that place to pick up a stone. And I don't want something that you can carry in your pocket and let nobody see that you were there. I'm going to make you go back into that place so that you can carry it on your shoulders as a testimony. In other words, what you've been through, people are going to see. What you have been coming out of, people are going to take notice of. What you have once was in the past, people are going to look at you. But you're carrying the rock, the stone, the chief cornerstone on your shoulders. You're not going to put a little rock in your pocket because it's a testament. I'm going to tell you, you're going to carry your burden on you to say, look at what God did for me. Now, that's all fine and dandy, Joe. I don't know about Joe. That's all I know. Joe. Gotta go back. Go get a stone. Big stone. Uncle Larry.
Uncle Larry.
You know something, how God have to do that to you? Come here. Me?
Uncle Larry. Okay.
I need you to go get yourself a big stone. Big one. You're going to have to, that's it. Yeah, you're going to have to carry it like that, man. I know we just came out of the water. You're going to have to go back in. And the first thing in your mind is going, come on, brother, come on. You need to go get yourself a stone, man. And I don't mean a little one. I mean a big one.
You might put two, brother.
Look at here.
So they can flex.
Now, watch this. It's one thing that they already come through, but they had to go back, not knowing whether or not God would still keep the waters separate. Because I know if he had told me, hold up, I made it across. I'm good. You mean... I don't know about those priests, but there was a sacrifice. Maybe they're going to go down. But I got to go back in. So now watch. They go get the rock, and this is what the Bible says. And put it where you lay tonight. Oh, don't miss this. Don't miss. Come on. Here. Y'all should be struggling right now. Come on, make the noise. Come on, grunt. Okay, now you just picked them up. Now we're going to go back and take it to your house. Come on. Well, you got a light one there because he's struggling back here. Uncle Larry, come on. Take it to your house. Watch this. There you go. And now you're going to lay it down. You're going to lay it down where you lay down tonight. Did you read that in your word? Why did he say take it where you lay down tonight? Because he's going to tell you something in your midst of your dreams. Remember what I had you carry. Remember where I brought you from. Remember what you used to be like. Remember what they used to call you. Remember how you used to be this. Remember how it used to be that. But now I'm going to bring you to a place of rest, and you're going to rest in me, for I am the rock of peace. I am your chief cornerstone of the foundation I'm building in your house. If you can carry your testimony for all to see, that's why it's not a little rock, it's a boulder, because of the truth of the matter is there's so much stuff that's been put on you. You got to carry it. When you get home, put it right there, Liz. Put it right there, Jeff. Put it there, Cynthia, because my peace will be with me. My peace will be right there. Carry it. You would think that that'd be it. I said, oh, God, I celebrate. Yes, yes, yes. But then he tells Joshua, watch this. You go back and place 12 stones where the priests stand now.
You reading that in your word?
So he selects the 12 men to do it for the families. Don't miss this. So the progenitor, which is Joshua. Joshua is the next generation of a different spirit, a different mindset, a different way of thinking, a different way of seeing, a different way of seeing who he is, has to go by himself. And in the middle of the transition where the priests are still standing, he erects a memorial of 12 stones in that place. In that place. And when I read that, I said, well, why would you do that if nobody's going to see it? Now, how many of you would imagine that when the river came back to its original state, that it came in very violently and would have knocked them over? How many of you would think that? I would have thought the same thing. But the Bible says very clearly, it's there even until this day. When God does something to bring you out of something that was violent in your life, he is not going to bring violence back in where you've placed your memorial to remember what he's done. He's going to come in and he's going to allow the waters to go around the place where you said, God met me in this place. He was with me. He got me through. But he didn't topple over my place of remembrance. One place of remembrance is going to be in your heart for you to understand that the progenitor Joshua had to go before the other people, but then he had to go back and make a memorial for the heart of the people to say, don't forget, nobody's going to see this, your enemy's not going to see this, but you will see this and you will remember this, the place where you had your encounter with God in his presence in the middle of your transition. Woo, you better hear this. I'm going to close. Come on, guys, I'm going to close. I'll make it simple today. Real simple. We go through stuff, Sylvia. We go through it. We don't understand why we go through it. Some of the stuff, it's self-inflicted. We do it. Some of the things, we don't know why it happens. It just happens. And then it just seems like it begins to just grow and grow and grow. How do we come out of what we've been in? How do we do it? God says, it's gotten so big, it needs me in the middle of it. Your problem needs my presence in the middle of a swollen river. Now watch this. If you read this, if you read the story correctly, after Joshua did this, then the priest and Joshua now go and get on dry land. And the waters go back at its original flood stage. Oh. Why would he allow the waters to be at flood stage again? Couldn't he not receive the waters to reveal the banks the way it used to be? No, he wanted to remind you, even the way you cross over, look back at the current flood that has been in your life. Look back, because in the middle of that flood, in the middle of that river of transition, I placed in your heart a memorial where I encountered you, you encountered me, and you had to trust me all the way through. But on the other side, in the land. I've erected a memorial so that your enemies can see the God that you serve. The one in the middle of the river was for your heart, for you to understand. God did it once. He'll do it again. But on the other side of the Jordan, it's so that all the enemies can see the God of Israel held back the waters. The God of Israel set them free from their previous lifestyle, set them free from their previous mindset, set them free from the place of bondage. They were set free. Now, when you're reading in the story, it says that the half the tribe of Manasseh, Reuben, and Gad, three tribes, watch this, they crossed over with swords in their hands. They were ready for battle. Read your story. When they crossed over, they knew the milk and honey wasn't coming to them. They knew they were going to have to fight some enemies that they had never faced before. They came ready, prepared for battle. They came with swords in hand. The tribe carried the rock out of the middle and placed it, created a memorial for worship. And that place was called Gilgal. Gilgal means to roll away, roll back. Roll away or roll back. The verb to that in the Hebrew is to roll on. Woo! I wish we had someone. Roll on high. Remember that dance song? Alabama said, roll on high. Okay, roll on. What that means is that I'm going to roll back the reproach off of you, but I'm going to roll on the presence of God on top of you so that wherever you go, the reproach has been removed, but your presence is still on me, God. And because I removed the foreskin of my former, your presence remains on me as a remembrance of what you've already done for me. I'm going into a new place, not taking the extra flesh from the past. I'm moving by the Spirit. I'm going to let everything that has had me bound in my soul. I'm going to release everything that has had me so bound so that I can embrace my future. Oh, he's going to test us. We get to the promised land. We get to eat those grapes. Those grapes. He says, get ready. Pull your sword. Because there's a battle that you're going to have to face. Go to Jericho. And these walls were fortified. And they were ready to fight, Liz. They were ready. They had their swords. I'm ready. He says, now just walk. I've conditioned you to walk. Walk. No, but I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to tear their head off. I'm ready to fight. He says, no, walk. I've shown you how to walk. Walk. I'm going to show you how to carry the light. Carry the light, Ebony. Carry the light. The enemy is standing above, looking down, mocking you on every move you make. You shouldn't do that. It's not going to be profitable for you. It's not going to work out. Your thinking is thinking. You're so religious, it's not going to work. Your God isn't going to deliver you. That was the old, but ain't gonna touch us because we're fortified. And the Israelites, I imagine Joshua like, ooh, this sword right here, got your name on it. And then he says, walk again. I've conditioned you for a generation to learn how to follow my instructions. I've conditioned a generation to learn how to follow my presence. I've conditioned a generation to learn how to trust me when it looks like there's no way out. See, when we cross over to a place we've never been, we're going to face enemies that we have never faced before. Now, I'm not here to tell you that you level new devil. I believe the devil's all around us all along, but once we have an understanding of who we really are, our life.
our eyes become enlightened so that we can see that they've been there all along. You just now get ready to deal with that thing and get rid of it from the influence in your life, get rid of the influence in your family, get rid of it from the poverty that has caused the strictness in your body and your family. You're going to get rid of everything that is now that you can see. Why? Because you learn to trust him in the middle of your transition. Bring back the memorial that God is in the middle of that place of transition, but he's also on the other side of the place of worship. Woo, you better hear this as I close. He says, in the word, did he tell him to make the memorial with those stones so that they could worship, make sacrifice? Not in the word. They did it on their own. He didn't tell them to worship there and sacrifice there. He just said, place them there. But what Joshua did is exactly what the forefather did before him.
He began to worship in a place out of gratitude and love for what was done. Not for what needed to be done, but for what was done. I'll worship you right here. And for decades after that one incident, people would always go back to Gilgal, because that was the place of establishment. That was the place where not only did Joshua and the Israelites cross over and make a place of worship, but that's also where our founding father, Abraham, the father of our faith, also erected a place of sacrifice right there. You see, there's some things that take place in our journey that the matriarchs and the patriarchs before us have established, but we have gotten off course. And God is saying, let's get back on track. Once you get back on track, woo! Once you get back on track, you'll be able to worship the God that brought you all the way through. Isn't he good? Isn't he wonderful? He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He's the God that is going to be in the midst of your very storm. He is the God that is going to show you, I've been there all along. I've been with you when you didn't understand how you were going to come out. But I'm also going before you. Now you're going to know me as Jehovah Shammah, the God. Of your victory, and the place that I remember when we first had our encounter. Let us not forget. Let's come together. Just lift up your hands. Just lift up your hands. And say this. I remember, God. I remember, God, when I first fell in love with you. Let me not forget where I first fell in love with you, where I first encountered you. Let me remember, Father. Yes, that's it. That's it. That's it. Yeah. Where I've kept you, I steadied the hand of the angel of death, and I spared your life. Once blind. but now I see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that you saved a wretch. Father, I ask you to forgive me. Forgive me, Father, for every sin, sin of omission and sin of commission. The sin I know about, the sin I don't know about. Forgive me. I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart. Jesus Christ is Lord. And that you died for me on that cross. And because I believe and I confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life for eternity. Thank you for saving me. I thank you for touching me. I thank you for the encounter. I thank you, God, for your presence. Now let this memorial serve as a notice to the enemies that stand on the other side. Let them know that the God that I serve is greater than any attack, any scheme, and any plan. The God that I serve is greater above all that I can even ask or think. The God that I serve is greater than my circumstance. The God that I serve is greater than any mountain, deeper his love than any sea. It is the God that has brought me out to bring me in, but he brought me through it so that I could attain it. God, I thank you for your Son Jesus. I thank you for the Spirit of the living God that guides me in all truth, that teaches me all things about your glory and about your kingdom. Father, I thank you today, and I bless you. I bless each and every individual from the crown of their head to the very soles of their feet. That, Lord, that you've ordered the steps of the righteous, and they shall walk in it. I bless them. Let your face shine upon them. Let your favor and your glory radiate in their life. Lord, I thank you for them. In Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. Hallelujah. 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 Before you leave, I want you to hug your neighbor, sis, and tell them his glory is on you. Tell him his glory is on you. Come on, go hug your neighbor. Go hug him. Go hug him. His glory is on you. His glory is on you. Drop your seat on the way out. We will see you next Sunday in the sanctuary. I love you. God bless you.